to pick up with that and go right on with this kind of lesson, because we need to understand that this is really going to happen. Inquiring minds want to know. I've mentioned that I've tried to say at funerals the comforting things that we need to know with regard to the fact that when we pass from this life, it's not just into an empty vastness without some kind of understanding about what's going on, but that Luke 16 entails us that angels come for the people of God and we're accompanied to the resting place.
Amen.
Now the same kind of question comes up, what's going to happen at the end? What's going to happen when all this we read about and all this it says is going to come to an end? Are you ready for the judgment day, we've been asked this morning? And when you look at the Bible, recognizes the Bible tells us some things, but a lot of people have no idea what the Bible says. Back when the new millennium started in the year 2000, there were all kinds of thoughts that suddenly all the banks are going to close, all the computers are going to shut down, and Y2K was the particular thing that was being discussed back then, and I'm sure many of you will remember that. Time magazine even had the end of the world on their front page as though that was going to come to an end, and I really don't know what would happen if all the computers came to an end. We'd go back to 1947, I guess, and live a more simple life. But when it comes down to the end of time, what is really going to happen to us as we think about that? Because it's something for us to really contemplate and consider. And we ask the question, when it comes to the last day, what's going to happen next? Where are you going to be and what's going to happen to us? We're going to be there. There's no doubt about that. And it's going to happen. There's no doubt about that, because the Bible very clearly tells us there will be a last day. And then what's going to happen? Well, the Bible tells us that we don't have to be surprised and we don't really have to be in doubt about what's going to happen, because there's a schedule that's mentioned in the Bible and we're all going to participate in that. So I'm very, really happy to not only give us comfort at the time of death to recognize that God sends angels for His people, but also to understand what happens at the end of time. Jesus is going to come back. Now, we hear this all the time about Jesus going to return. So many have mistaken the idea that He's going to come back in the millennial reign that begins when He comes back to the earth for 1,000 years. That's not what's going to happen. That's not what then. There's not going to be 1,000-year reign of Jesus on earth. Briefly speaking, without going into great detail, the millennial reign of Christ is undergoing now.
Amen.
Christ is now King of the kingdom. He's on the throne, and we're able to understand that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. The Lord is here in the sense of the kingdom, but He's coming back again. The Bible really tells us that. It's going to be a personal appearance. It's not going to be a vision. It's not going to be something of that nature. When Jesus was with the disciples after the resurrection and after His appearances and was ready to ascend back into heaven, the Bible says they were gathered outside the city of Jerusalem, and Jesus bade them farewell and ascended back into the clouds. And that will be the way He's going to come back again. He will descend from the clouds of heaven. And so we can understand this is something that we're going to see, because the Bible says it'll be seen by everybody. Every eye shall see Him. Now there's a group of people that says the resurrection is already over. Well, I know it's not, because I know you haven't seen Him and I haven't seen Him. And the Bible is very clear about the fact that one thing that's going to happen at the end is we're going to see Jesus. Now it's not going to be Jesus on the streets of Jerusalem. Terry pointed out, as he mentioned the Lord's Supper, that Jesus was the suffering man, the suffering servant, the time that He was on the earth, and He was whipped and flogged, and He was treated badly. And you look at Him, all you would see would be a Jew that's being hung on the cross. He's coming in His glory. John tells us that we're going to see Him as He is, because we'll be like Him. And so one of the things that you can know, not be surprised, you're going to see Jesus. Now in Matthew 17, we have what's called the Mount of Transfiguration. That for a period of time before Jesus had to suffer on the mountain, he was transfigured or glorified, and Peter, James, and John were able to see him partly in that glory. It's like the human flesh was pulled back and the glory of Jesus was shining through. We'll have the full view of Jesus, not just transfigured. He's going to be victorious Lord. We're going to see him as he really is, as the angels see him in heaven. My, what a thing that's going to be. We cannot imagine what he looks like. I don't even think about what people draw pictures of Jesus, what he may look like. We don't know what physical form he had, but I can assure you that we're going to see him in all his glory, surrounded by all his angels. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is going to be announced with a trumpet sound. Now, a trumpet, the Bible tells us, and Paul talks about the trumpet sound, when they make a certain sound, it will tell you what that trumpeter wants you to know. Well, when this trumpet sounds, it will be the announcement that Jesus is returning. And everybody's going to hear it. So, when you hear that trumpet sound, look for Jesus, because he's going to be there. Now, that's a thrilling thing to think about for the people of God. We're going to see Jesus as he really is. And it's going to be unexpected, we're told. It's not something that can be predicted. The Thessalonians and the Corinthians both were having a problem with the resurrection because there were some false teachers who really didn't know what they were talking about. And the Corinthians could not really grasp the idea of a new body. But the Thessalonians had been told by some that the resurrection was already past, and some are still saying that today. But that's not so. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning of verse 1, we have the inspired message. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Now, when you think about this in Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus gave the prediction of the destruction of Jerusalem, chapter 24, and then into chapter 25, the end of the world. He made the distinction that there will be signs of the coming of the end of Jerusalem. And even Daniel said, when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not, flee the city. Well, the Jews understood that to be, the Christians understood that to be, the Roman general and the abomination of desolation for Jerusalem. So the Christians fled the city. There were signs of that coming about. But it may be any time when Jesus comes back. We don't know when it's going to be. It's going to be like a thief in the night. In the news lately, up around Frisco and some of those places, there have been thieves breaking into people's houses, and they're all surprised because they didn't expect it to happen to them. They say, oh, that happens to somebody else. Well, it happened to them. Now then, it's going to happen to us. The end of the world is going to come, and it's going to come unexpectedly. And so Jesus taught on one occasion that there'll be people that have been married and given in marriage. They'll be buying and selling. Life will be going on. There'll be people in sin. There'll be people who don't believe in Jesus, and all of a sudden they're going to have immense faith because they're going to see him. There won't be any atheists on this occasion. Amen. Everybody's going to know that Jesus is very real, but it's going to come unexpectedly. And so, what are you going to be doing Monday morning about 9 o'clock? It could be the end of time. And it might be 150 years from now. It might be 1,000 years from now. We just don't know. There have been all kinds of people make predictions about the end time. And the Jehovah's Witnesses were the most famous. They said he was going to come back in 1944, I think. And they had to sort of adjust it because 1944 came and went, and they said, well, he came secretly. No, the Bible says every eye is going to see him. He didn't come in 1944. And then we had this thing in 1987. There was a NASA scientist that said he had read various things, and he had concluded as a scientist that Jesus was coming back in 1987. We had a lot of booklets distributed on the porch of the church in Woodmont over there at that time that Jesus is going to be here in 1987. Well, I didn't hold my breath. Because I'm not worried about these date setters. They don't know what they're talking about, even though he was a NASA scientist. He just doesn't know. And when people begin to make these predictions, it's just ridiculous. It makes about as much sense as, what is it, Biloxi Phil? The Groundhog Day? Nobody knows what the weather's going to do. So this coming of Christ is going to happen, but it's going to happen unexpectedly. And the dead are going to be raised. Cemeteries everywhere are going to be emptied. The ocean are going to give up the dead that are in them. All the cemeteries are going to be wasted property. Nobody will use them anymore because the dead are going to be raised. Now, it's not that just a few are going to be raised. The premillennial theory is that when Jesus comes back, that there's going to be a resurrection of the righteous, and the righteous are going to be raptured, is their term, and they're going to be caught up in the air to be with Jesus for 1,000 years, and there's going to be tribulation on earth. Well, that's just not going to happen. Bible doesn't teach that. And so if you're wondering what's going to happen when Jesus comes back, it's going to be the end. That's what the Bible is telling us. It's going to be the end. And everywhere around the world of all the ages, people are going to be raised. In the book of John, chapter 5, we're just told that very clearly. I don't know why it should be a mystery, because we understand exactly what the Bible is saying. In John, the fifth chapter, in verse 28, the Bible says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Everybody is going to come out. Hitler's going to come out. Jezebel's going to come out of the grave. David's going to come out of the grave. And if I'm there, I'll come out of it too. Because it's going to be a resurrection day when all those tombs are going to be emptied. And in Acts chapter 24, when you have the life of Paul being discussed, in Acts 24, beginning of verse 15, Paul said, "I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Now again, there's a lot of misinformation here. The premillennial people say there's going to be a resurrection of the just first, and then at some time in the future there'll be a resurrection of the unjust. That's just not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're all going to come out of the graves at the same time, and that's going to take place. And when you begin looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as it discusses that, in a number of verses, I'll not read all of that. It's very familiar territory to all of us who are Christians. But this is where you want to go if you want to know what then. What's going to happen next? Well, the Bible tells us that the dead in Christ are going to be raised incorruptible. Now, our bodies are corruptible. They'll turn to dust. We're told in the Bible that when you die, you go back to the dust. From dust we're taken, to dust we're going to return. And so we're going to do that. But then there's going to be the resurrection, and whereas we've been planted in corruptible bodies, we'll be raised in an incorruptible body. It'll be a glorious body. Not going to have to worry about arthritis. Amen. Not going to have to worry about back pain. Not going to worry about all these aches and pains and troubles and warts that all of us have. It's going to be a glorious body because it's going to be like Jesus. It's going to be a powerful body because it'll never die again. Amen. You know, I think of Sister Dias. What a sweet lady, but she's so weak. She's aged. And she has this sweet personality, but she has so little energy. But she's going to be powerful.
Amen.
And all the weak will be made powerful. And it's not going to be a mortal body anymore, because it's going to be a spiritual body. Now, there are all kinds of people that think if you can't touch it or feel it, it doesn't exist. But there's a true reality with regard to spiritual things. Paul called them the invisible things. And we certainly, they're invisible to us now. But then we're going to have that spiritual body. And any further description is just unknown, because the only thing that John tells us is that we'll be like the Lord, because we'll see Him as He is. These eyes, and the spiritual eyes that I'll have in that time, I'm going to see the Lord. And so are you. Now, you see, just like when you think about burying a loved one, the sorrow is somewhat removed when you recognize that angels came for them. That's comforting. Well, it's comforting to know what's going to happen then. And we're not going to have to worry about these things. And in the study in Romans this morning in chapter 3, we're in that section starting in chapter 4 where it talks about the forgiven people, and that's us. We're forgiven, and so we're going to be like the Lord, because we'll see Him as He is. And then those who are living will be changed, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. At the time of the resurrection, there are going to still be people living on earth. I don't know whether it's going to happen in our lifetime or not, but there'll be people living on earth. And when the dead in Christ are raised, then those in Christ who are still living will be changed. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. And so you're going to be in your body, and all of a sudden we're swept up in the resurrection, and that old physical body is going to disappear, and in its place you're going to have that spiritual body that'll inhabit heaven. In John 14, the Bible talks about many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. I don't know particularly what that's talking about. I don't think we're going to have a house to live in. It's possible that the many mansions of John 14 are the spiritual bodies that we're going to be given. That's just an idea. But whatever it is, it's going to be good. And we'll meet the Lord in the air, not on the earth. He will never set foot back on the earth again. Now, people really think about, well, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to set up a kingdom like David and like Solomon. He's going to sit on the throne. There are even people that have said that the throne of David is really the Queen of England's throne. And that when Jesus comes back, He's going to kick the monarch off the throne in England and take that to Jerusalem. He's going to sit on a physical throne in Jerusalem. Folks, that doesn't make a bit of sense. Why would that be possible as an honor when Jesus is sitting by the throne of God? Why would a throne of England be of importance when you're thinking about the throne of God? Go back to the book of Daniel and some of the Old Testament prophets, and great detail. They talk about the cherubim, the seraphim, the great sea of glass, and the myriad of angels that are around God. Why would He come back to a little bitty seat in the city of Jerusalem? Because he's not going to do that. He's not going to set foot on earth anymore. What's going to happen at the end? All these things that I'm talking about are going to take place, and we're going to see Jesus, and we're going with Jesus. Amen. He's not coming back to the earth and set up an earthly throne. When I lived in East Texas, and for a number of years thereafter, there was called the Radio Church of God, and they had a big campus out at Big Sandy, Texas, as well as one in California. And Herbert Armstrong was the matriarch or patriarch of all that thought. And his understanding was that Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to need a place to supply him with food and shelter. And so he said the Radio Church of God and that Ambassador College was going to grow cows so Jesus would have beef when he came back, and it would grow plants so Jesus would have food to eat. And they went on and on and on, and they've come to nothing. And that Ambassador College has disappeared, which is okay, because Jesus isn't going to need physical food or beef or cows when he comes back, because he's not going to stay here. And we're not either. And so we'll be gone, and he'll never set foot on earth again. And then the earth is going to be destroyed. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And it's just, again, as clear as can be, and people try to somehow figure out where this isn't going to happen. But this is what's going to happen. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning of verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." That's what we read earlier in 1 Thessalonians. "In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Now, this word elements, it is understood with regard to language, for example. We have a sentence. Well, the sentence is made up of elements. They're called words. Well, the words are made up of elements. We call them the ABCs. So if you want to know what the elements of speech are, they're the ABCs. Well, at the time of the resurrection and the destruction of the world, the elements will be discovered. That is, all the atoms that make up matter will burn up. It's going to be a loud bang. People talk about the Big Bang theory at the beginning of the creation. It's going to be a real bang at the judgment day. And he said both the earth and the worlds that are in, works that are in it, will be burned up. Therefore, now based upon that knowledge, and you know that's going to happen now, based on that knowledge, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt. There's your elements again. Will melt with fervent heat. And so we understand all that's going to happen. But what's going to happen to us? We're going to be safe. Because we'll be with the Lord. Material things will disappear. The universe will be dissolved. And you know, if you can understand the power of God that brought the universe into being, what big thing is it for this same power to take it out of being? And the earth is going to be dissolved and all the things that are in it. The heavens will pass away. Hebrew writer talked about they'll be rolled up like a mantle and laid away. The elements will melt. The earth will be burned up. And then, and it's all happening simultaneously, the judgment. Matthew 25 talks about that very clearly. It talks about the separation that's going to take place. And it's going to be based on God's righteousness. And there'll be the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. And he's going to say to those on the right hand, "Come on in." Amen. "Enter in to the gates of glory. Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. "My, I want to be there." Don't you want to hear that? Amen. If you're troubled about life, if you're troubled about good and evil, just think about this. And all of a sudden the temptations fade away. What good is momentary pleasure when you're thinking about eternity and the judgment? Amen. And Moses understood that. He said he'd rather suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, we live in a time where sin is very enjoyable. And, quote, everybody does it. And there's the temptation to join the crowd. And I've known people to leave the Lord's people and go back into the world because they want to be a part of that. No, you don't.
Amen.
No, you don't. Because there's going to be a separation, and those on the left are going to be sent away into eternal destruction. And so we need to understand that. The book of Revelation closes with this idea as well. And of course, it describes heaven in terms that will draw a mental picture for us, but we can't even begin to understand what heaven's going to be like. So what then? All that's going to take place, and heaven is going to be ours.
Amen.
That's not a pipe dream. That's not pie in the sky by and by. That's the reality of being a child of God.
Amen.
And how much we need to let that, as Peter said, seeing that these things are so, what kind of people ought we to be? Well, to be Christians. I need to be a faithful Christian. I want to be with God's people. I don't want to be with the world and with the people that are going to be lost. I do hope I can be an influence for them. I do want to be an influence to people that they might become children of God. I want everybody to be saved. But the reality of it is that just as they rejected Jesus when he was on earth, they'll reject the gospel of Christ today. But you and I know something that the world doesn't understand. We know what then when the trumpet sounds. We know what God's going to do. And so get ready. Get set. Let's all go to heaven together. And that's what this is all about. We're not playing games with God. We're not going through ritual. We're not just playing church. We're getting ready to go to heaven. And please don't let anybody miss out on that. If you're not a child of God this morning, you need to be, because this is the reality of it. And if you haven't been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, do it quickly. Because I don't know when the Lord's coming back. It might be at 9 o'clock in the morning. It might be at 3 o'clock in the morning. It might be 1,000 years and we've been in the grave all that time. But when he comes back, it's going to be real.
Amen.
What then? If you're a child of God, you know what then. I pray that we'll have the courage to see this, to understand it, and to hold on to it. And heaven can be our home. If you need to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the invitation song.